From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. This past Friday, Japan launched two spy satellites, that nation's first eyes in the sky. North Korea reacted angrily, warning the move could touch off a new arms race in Northeast Asia. Tensions in the region have been particularly high since North Korea dismantled UN monitoring devices at a nuclear processing plant late last year and made it clear that they were working to build nuclear weapons. On Friday, I spoke with two longtime Asian affairs experts. William Clark is president of the Japan Society. He was Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs under the first President Bush. And James Lilly is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He was U.S. Ambassador to China from 1989 to 1991, and to South Korea for 3 years prior to that. Ambassador Lilly said that the United States is making significant progress toward opening lines of discussion with Pyongyang through backdoor diplomatic proposals.
I think it's beginning to move somewhat towards multilateral talks because we've passed this proposal to the North Koreans through the Chinese, according to press reports. And the Chinese have told the North Koreans, I'm told, that this is a disguise for bilateral talks with the United States. You go to these multilateral talks, and you can talk with the U.S. on the side. The North Koreans have not answered yet.
Japan has pretty much taken a back seat to the United States in most matters military, certainly, since World War II. But now we have these two spy satellites which have been launched. Is this a new posture, Ambassador Clark?
Well, Japan was reaching out, and one shouldn't forget that after Prime Minister Koizumi was here in New York and visited us at the Japan Society, the next week he went to Pyongyang to build bridges to North Korea. Unfortunately, while he was there, the North Koreans admitted to having abducted some Japanese between 1960 and 1990, and that took all of the headlines, and so it didn't get him much further. The concern about from North Korea about his launching a missile is it gives really new meaning to chutzpah. After all, the North Koreans are the ones that launched a missile right across Japan and splashed it down in the Pacific. And so for them to now be that concerned, it's not surprising, but it's amazing.
And the Japanese didn't do this because of the weapons program. But if I am right, I think the Japanese could take their very active civilian space program and convert it to missiles in a very short time. And I'm told they have about 70 tons of plutonium compared to what the North Koreans have. If the Chinese don't help us out on North Korea, I think there's going to be a price to pay in what Japan does about its own position.
Ambassador Lilly, you mentioned China needing to take part in any discussions with North Korea. How do you think Beijing wants this whole situation to play out?
Well, the Chinese are enigmatic, to say the least. I've been watching them for 70 years, and I'm still climbing around trying to find out what it's all about. We've gotten some messages from the Chinese recently to the effect that we are a transition government. We're new. We're changing everything, a new cabinet, everything. We got new defense people. Don't push us now. All you'll get is cliches. But they've also told us privately, I understand, that, look, we know the North Koreans better than you do, and we know what a real problem they are, and we know the high stakes in this game. Let's talk about it, but give us some time.
Let me ask you about South Korea, though. Hasn't there been some disagreement at times between South Korea and Washington over how to deal with North Korea, and how much then can Washington depend on Seoul to remain loyal, to be a loyal partner in this?
The loyalty isn't the word I'd pick as a cooperative partner. South Korea is going to branch out on its own, but it's done remarkably moving towards us since the inauguration, since Secretary Powell went there and talked with the new President No. We sense that they're beginning to realize that the United States forces are essential for their security. There's no more talk of withdrawing them. My sense is we're going to be working much more closely with the South Koreans.
Ambassador Clark, how willing do you think North Korea is to actually open itself up to the rest of the world?
It's interesting. It knows that it has to do that. The Chinese have been, and Jim will agree, the Chinese have been telling him, look what we've done. Why don't you follow our model? The concern has to be that if you open up the country, people are going to talk to others than and the party cadre, and they're really going to learn about the outside world. If you look at the outward immigration flows from North Korea, or the attempts at any rate, it's very clear that even with the very tight controls they have now on radio and everything else, people are getting the word that it's terrible here, it can't be worse outside, it's probably better.
What do you think, Ambassador Lilly, how willing is North Korea to open up?
I think they're frightened of it. The whole system is based on prevarications and lies. It's something out of George Orwell. Freedom is slavery, peace is war, love is hate. It's an unbelievable country with these huge gulags with hundreds and thousands of people in them and people escaping. It's a sick, sick country. And on top of this is the what looks like a desperation on the population part, and now we see it on the leadership part. And what's linked to now is incompetence. They try to do economic reform in July. It blows up in their face. The Japanese abductee problem, they wanted to have that huge package of compensation from Japan, and they backfires in their face when the Japanese find out they're a lot more abducted. My sense is that we're dealing with a regime that is desperate, and we've got to try to find their vulnerabilities, and I think it lies in the economic sphere. And I think the Chinese know this, the Japanese know this, the South Koreans know it. But we've got, each one has its own agenda.
So where does the United States fit into this equation? Behind China, Japan, South Korea?
Oh, I think we are the biggest actor on the block, and the South Koreans and the Chinese are trying to dump the thing in our lap to let us deal with these people so they can sit on the sidelines and snipe at us and tell us what we did wrong.
Ambassador Clark, if North Korea is desperate and dangerous, is there not some kind of time constraint?
I'm afraid there may be. It's a function of starvation, industrial might drifting away, a large army that is not well supplied anymore. Very interesting pictures from the DMZ recently of the lack of discipline in the troops. When I served in Korea, you could count on them being spit and polish and all shiny, and seeing them without their caps and jackets on, sort of lounging around, very different view of the North. It's a society that is in real trouble. I don't think we have too much time, but I am concerned. The worst thing that could happen, of course, would be a war. I think the next worst thing that could happen would be a total collapse of the North.
William Clark is president of the Japan Society. James Lilly is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Thank you very much for your time, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne.